This morning we have a guest joining us by phone, and we're going to talk about something that you may not be used to seeing here in these parts this time of the year. Adam Janke is with us this morning, a wildlife specialist with Iowa State University Extension. Adam, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about the snowy owl. Is that fairly uncommon for us to run into that around here?
Yeah, it sure is. Now, folks see snowy owls in Iowa every winter. On occasion, we'll see one, but normally it's around 30 or so birds, and this year already we're way over that number and on track to maybe see, we've seen well over 100 already and may see up to 200 potentially this year.
Wow. And where do we look for these?
Well, yeah, so snowy owls are interesting. Folks that are familiar with owls, of course, think the only time you see them is at dawn and dusk, and you see them in the woods, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these are completely different. These snowy owls live in the Arctic, and if you live in the Arctic, you get used to daylight because, of course, the sun never sets up there during the summer when they're up there breeding. And so there are only truly diurnal or daytime active owl that we'd see in Iowa. And then they're also unique in that they avoid forests. I was going to say they're ambivalent about forests, but they actually avoid them. They like wide open spaces, just like the Arctic tundra, where they spend their summers. They want it to be wide open areas, so things like pastures and fields and that we have here in Iowa are really, really good habitat for them.
Hmm. Interesting. You've had some decent sightings already this year. Is it mostly in the country? Do you find them sometimes in populated areas?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, too. I was in preparing for the call here. I went and looked at some sightings around, and it was just interesting. There's some things online that have maps where you find the snowy owls. And all up and down Lake Michigan on the coast of Chicago, people are seeing snowy owls. So that would certainly be an exception. There's probably a lot of different things going on that's kind of forcing those snowy owls to land on the edge of Lake Michigan. But as a general rule, we see them in open rural areas between the cities, but that doesn't mean we couldn't potentially see one in an urban area as well.
You bet. Well, now these have a pretty distinctive look to them. They're really good looking birds.
They sure
I can't
are.
Imagine
yeah.
that too many people are confusing them for something else.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So they're white, of course, as the name implies, and not many things are white. And certainly the closest thing that we would have would be a barn owl. But even barn owls have a lot of brown to them. And so the snowy owl, like the name implies, is just snow white and a beautiful bird. It's also really quite big. It's the biggest owl in North America by weight. And, of course, that relates to the fact that they live in the Arctic tundra as well. It's pretty cold up there. And things that live in the north tend to be a lot bigger. And so think about polar bears, for example, and how big they are and white. So snowy owls are really big and really white. And we do see some color variation in snowy owls now. Adult male snowy owls are almost completely white, like a sheet. And then young female snowy owls actually have a lot of horizontal black barring. And then the adult females and the young males are somewhere in between those two extremes. So you can see variations of this black barring on a snowy owl that you see, but the dominant color, of course, is always bright white, and that's what's going to catch your eye when you're driving around the countryside and what will attract you to seeing one of these.
Yeah, as folks are traveling here during the holiday season, keep your eyes out. You might see something you wouldn't see normally.
Exactly. Yeah, this is a pretty neat opportunity, and this year seems to be really unique. And so we really want folks to keep their eyes peeled, essentially, while they're driving, because without snow on the ground, and, of course, I know some folks, we got a little bit of snow yesterday, here in Ames at least, but without snow on the ground, they're really conspicuous. They're a bright white bird on an otherwise brown landscape. And so it's a unique opportunity in that respect, because when snowy owls are typically here, we normally have snow. And then also there's so many of them coming into the northern United States right now because they had a really banner year for reproduction, and they've been kind of forced out of where they normally spend their winter because there's just simply too many of them to fit in up there.
Is it just simply a matter of following the food chain?
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. There's a couple things going on with owls. One, this all started this summer, essentially, in early spring, when the owls arrived on their tundra breeding grounds. And essentially what the adults did is they figured out that it was going to be a really good year across their breeding range for food sources. And their main food up there is like a field mouse called a lemming. And they figured out that it was going to be a really good year. And snowy owls have the ability to basically increase their reproductive efforts in years where food's really abundant. And so they laid really big clutches of eggs. Because there was so much food, those eggs hatched and were fledged really successfully. And then, of course, once the tundra froze, it forced them all down to the south. Snowy owls actually are territorial on their wintering grounds as well, which is kind of unique. You know, we see a lot of birds flock up. Of course, ducks and geese are the most simple example of this, but they flock up and they spend the winter. They just basically get through it together, essentially. But snowy owls like to kind of keep their space. And so when there's a lot of these extra young in a really good breeding year up on the tundra, all of those extra young have to go somewhere, and that somewhere tends to be south. And so we call that a winter eruption, when all these young show up in places like Iowa and Kansas and Oklahoma and Illinois and all up and down the eastern seaboard. They're essentially been forced down here because their older, wiser parents won't let them hang out with them on their traditional wintering grounds.
Rudolph can't join in any reindeer games.
Yeah,
huh?
Right. Yeah, there's all sorts of neat sort of holiday puns going on with this thing as well.
So. Yeah, it's interesting. Now, while some of these are here, now will they breed here then, produce eggs, and they won't stay here, will they?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, it's they are actually really prescriptive in where they breed, and so they will be here until probably February, maybe March. But the last time that there was a big eruption year was 2011 and 12 in Iowa. And in that year, the most viewing opportunity was December and January. And then there was a few birds hanging on in March, and then we never saw another one. And that means they were all retreating back north as the tundra starts to thaw out. They want to get up there early, and they always breed in the same place. And they're basically breeding on the coast of the Arctic Ocean. If you look at the map that shows where they breed, it is the very northern tip of Canada and Alaska.
Very interesting. You know, and I've heard some people say things like, you know, they were looking out in this farm field. We've had some pretty windy days here this late fall, early winter. And they thought they saw something white out there, figured it was probably just like one of those plastic grocery sacks, mm-hmm. until all of a sudden it got up and took off.
Oh,
and
sure.
Probably
yep.
didn't even know what yep. they were looking at.
Yep, that's a snowy owl. That's for sure. I don't think you could confuse it for anything. If it's that big, there's nothing else that white and that big that would be alone out there like that. So, and they also commonly, they really commonly perch on like telephone poles and road signs and things like that, high places in really open country.
Sure. Will we hear them at all?
No, they're very quiet. In fact, I don't know of any vocalizations that they do while they're on their wintering grounds, but they may, but that's certainly not how folks discover them. In the way that you would say, you know, the more familiar great-horned owls and barred owls, we normally just hear them and don't see them. Snowy owls are the opposite. We tend to just see them, particularly off in the distance.
Excellent. An opportunity for folks, as I say, with their holiday travels here over the next few weeks, chance to maybe see something like that. As long as we don't have a lot of snow cover, they kind of stick out. Now, if folks do happen to see one somewhere, are you tracking them at all?
Yeah, I'm not personally tracking them, but folks, other people are. And so a few options, if folks wanted to get in touch with me, I would be able to get them in touch with the people keeping track of it. There's the Iowa Ornithology Union has a nice website. It's called iowabirds.org, and they actually have a map of all the sightings of snowy owls so far this year. And they have an email address on there, and you can contact them. Or we also have a professor here at the university that's working with them to keep track of the snowy owl sightings, and his name's Steve Dinsmore, and he's interested to hear, and especially if folks can get a photograph because they can kind of try to tell whether or not it's a adult or a juvenile or a male or a female from those photographs. So,
well, it's a, you know, it sounds like another great way for families to spend a little time together.
It sure is, and that's what I think is so neat about this is just, yeah, keep your eyes up and out in the fields while you're driving to grandma's house for the holidays this weekend or over the new year, and you may get to see a bird that has traveled the world quite literally here right in your hometown. It's a pretty neat phenomenon, I think.
A way to keep the kids quiet on that long trip. Excellent.
That's right.
A bonus. Well, Adam, thank you so much. Adam Janke with Iowa State University Extension. A lot of fun. The snowy owls. Look for those this year. Thank you so much, and have a great holiday season.